This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Good morning. Man, I'm glad you are here this morning. I'm glad that I'm here this morning. I can't think of a better place that I would rather be than to be here with you and to sing songs about who Jesus is and what God has done for us. He's been so faithful and so good in every aspect, in every area. Sometimes we don't take the time to really comprehend all that God has given us and all that God has done. One of the amazing things that God has done for us is He's provided for us a way to know Him. Without the Word of God, there would be no way to really know who God is, to understand His character or His ways, to understand what He desires from us. But God has given us His Word that we might see Him for who He is. It's a revelation. It's a revealing of His character, of His nature, of His desire. And there's power in the Word. God has given us His Word that we would understand it, that we would know Him, that we would walk with Him. The power of the Word is amazing when we really begin to understand what the Bible's for, why God gave it to us. It's not a bookend at the end of your shelf. It's not just a nice ornament to sit on your coffee table. It's life-changing. And when I started this series on spiritual disciplines, I asked you a few questions, and I wanted to reiterate some of those questions again just to cause you to think and to be honest with yourself. Because if you don't really look inside, it'll be another message and you'll be like, wow, that was a great message, and you'll leave here and nothing will change. There'll be no transformation, no application, no real understanding of the Word of God in your life. And I asked you at the beginning of this series, how many of you would love to have a growing, thriving, awesome relationship with God? That you just desire God, you want to know Him. And how many of you would like to have Christian friends that would really pray for you, that would love you and support you, that would be there for you at any moment, especially during difficult times in your life? How about a marriage that is solid and secure? How about money left over at the end of the month? I mean, literally, money left over at the end of the month. So much money that you'd be able to help other people with. How about your physical life, your mental life? How many people here would like to go through a day without worrying at all, without stress, without being anxious? Just going through a day knowing that you have peace and then being able to put your head on your pillow at night and resting in His peace as you fall to sleep. How about being in shape? How many of you would love to say, I'd love to be in shape? I want to make you a promise this morning. None of those things will happen by accident. Ever. Great marriages don't happen on accident. You don't just fall into a great marriage or a great relationship. Building great friendships, connecting with people does not happen by accident. Having money left over at the end of the month isn't going to happen just because you found a sack of 20s. It doesn't work that way. All these things take discipline. Being in great shape, really understanding who you are, is about understanding God's plan for your life. We aim for a lot of things in this world. We fix our eyes on stuff and we want it, we desire it, and we go after it. Whether it be wealth, whether it be success, whether it be status, whether it be power, we fix our eyes. But we need to heed the warning that Jesus gave. He was strong when He said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but yet forfeit his soul? What good is it if you get this and you get that? And you get everything that your heart desires, but you miss out on knowing Him. And one day you come and you stand before the King of Kings. And He says, wow, you worked really hard in your life. But you hit the wrong target. You were shooting for the wrong goal. You missed it. Instead of hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," man, you were faithful. You did what I asked you to do. You lived the way I wanted you to live. You see, by nature, we are a people of procrastination. We like to procrastinate. We do. By nature, we procrastinate. We say to ourselves, "I'll do it tomorrow." Our motto is, "Why do today what you can do tomorrow?" We live that way. We're always putting off what needs to be done now, because in some recesses of our mind, we believe that we are invincible, that we'll always have more time, that we'll always have another day, another year, another month. We don't realize how fragile life is and how important it is to make the decisions that we need to make in the moment. We are not invincible. The only reason our hearts are beating is because God has had grace in our lives. And you think, "Well, it's not really that big a deal. I just wasted a day." But if you waste enough days, that turns into a week. And then if you waste enough weeks, that turns into a month. And you say, "Well, that's not really a big deal. I got lots of months." Well, if you waste enough months, that becomes a year. And then if you waste enough years, that equals your life. You're 50, 60, 70 years old, and you look back on your life and you say, "Where did it go?" If you're older, you know what I'm talking about. You've experienced that. You look back and you're like, "Where did my life go? What happened to it?" And the older we get, the faster life moves. Discipline is critical in every area of our life. I said it last week. Nobody's ever going to say, "Wow, I was just so disciplined, it really hurt me. I mean, I was so careful with the way I spent my money that I always had too much money at the end of the month. And I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I was so disciplined in the way I ate that I just took care of my body that I'm just afraid I'm going to live forever." Discipline's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Discipline is defined to train or develop by instruction. An exercise, especially in self-control. Training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. To train yourself to do something by controlling your behavior. You might call it behavior modification. But discipline is critical for every aspect of your life. And as a culture, we lack discipline. If you're honest with yourself, there are areas of your life that you know you're not disciplined in. And God wants you to be disciplined, especially in the spiritual disciplines of our life. Last week I talked about prayer. Man, that's a discipline. If you don't make time to get on your knees, if you don't make time to talk to God, it won't just happen. It especially won't happen by accident. Many of us pray when we're in trouble. We pray when we have needs. But we don't commune with the Father. Just learning to walk with Him and talk with Him, to bless Him. And then fasting, that's a discipline in our culture that nobody wants to practice. Because it means sacrifice. It means surrender. It means saying no to what you need the most physically, to say yes to what you need the greatest spiritually. And in order to really grow spiritually, you have to be able to say no to the things that will keep you from connecting with God. Today I want to talk about the discipline of reading and studying and memorizing, meditating the Word of God, the Bible. God, man, if you really understood or knew the historical implications of what happened, how many people gave their life to preserve the Scriptures. Historically, people were burned at the stake for holding on to the Word of God. People surrendered their lives so that we could have the Scriptures today. God gave us His Word to teach us and to instruct us, to show us what it means to know Him and to live. It's imperative that we understand our need for the Word of God. and the power the Word truly has. I'm going to start with 2 Timothy 3:16, a verse that we should all know, something you should grasp and grab onto. It starts by saying, all Scripture is God-breathed. All. Not some, not the ones that you choose to believe, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that, and when you see the so that, what's that for? It's your purpose statement, right? It's your purpose clause stating what the purpose is. The Word of God has purpose, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God has given us His Word that we might be equipped, that we might be ready for battle, that we might be able to be the men and the women that God wants us to be, that we might learn to live the way that God wants us to live. His Word is impeccable. It's imperishable. Nobody can destroy it. It will stand the test of time. God's Word is true. And all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, some people say, well, how do you know that all of it is? Because God inspired it. Even the next phrase where it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, that's the Greek word, theo, which means God, pneutos, which means Spirit. It's inspired by the Spirit of God. That is, God's words were given through men, superintended by the Holy Spirit, so that their writings are without error. God was communicating to us through specific men. Think about this. 40 human authors, one divine. 3 continents, 3 languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, 40 generations. One perfect book. You can't even get 3 people to sit down and write a book together today. In the same generation, at the same time, much less over a 1600 year span. 40 human authors. 3 continents, 3 languages. And it stood the test of time. The Bible is the most sold book in the world of all times, and it always will be, because it's God's Word. The Greek word here describes, and it's beautiful, ships. Their sails are filled, carried along over the seas. And Paul says that every Scripture is a product of the Spirit's work. He fills the writer, and so to carry him along with the words that he produced. And though each writer, it bears the personality of the writer, you can see that as you read through the New Testament. But they remain true and certain because they're the words of God Himself communicating to us. And the results are the Bible. It's inerrant, meaning without error, completely accurate. It's infallible. It's a reliable standard for your life, for everything. The Word of God is the greatest resource we have as believers. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. But you need the Spirit and the Word working together in you. The Bible says in John 6:63, Jesus was talking to His disciples one day. And He says, the Spirit gives word to the life and life to the Word. The Word and the Spirit of God connect together to transform us. It's not just words. It's power, real power. When God's Word is in your heart and the Spirit of God moves on the Word of God, there's transformation. There's true transformation. God wants to change us. The real question is, do you want to be changed? I mean, that's the real question for you and for me. Do I want change? Do I want to be more like Jesus? Do I want to grow in my faith? Do I want to learn His Word? Because if you learn His Word, if you bury it in your heart, God will change you. The Scriptures are adequate to protect us from false teaching. You can't know the counterfeit unless you know the authentic. You can't know what's real unless you know what's fake. And you won't know what's fake unless you know what's real. You have to understand that God has given us His Word to strengthen us, especially in times of persecution. And our nation is on the brink of probably the greatest persecution that we've ever experienced in America. With homosexual marriages and all that is going on in our culture where we're not allowed to pray publicly, the change is coming and the hammer is going to fall. And if you don't stand on the Word of God, you won't have any strength to undergo the persecution that we'll face. We need the Word of God buried in our heart. I can't stress that enough. And the Word of God is useful. It is useful. First, it says, for teaching. It's the Greek word, didaklos. It's an easy word. It's an all-purpose word for all things, meaning that it's the instruction manual for everything in your life. The Word is your instruction manual for everything. The Bible teaches us how to live, how to communicate, how to love, how to share, how to give, how to care, how to pray. Everything is in the Word of God. So it is useful first for teaching, but it's also useful for rebuking. It is useful for rebuking. The Word is associated with convicting of sin. The Word of God will convict you of your sin or your error. It will keep you from going astray. It's not only useful for teaching and rebuking, it's also for correcting. And I love the Greek word here. It's a term that means restoring to an upright position. It's like you have this ailment and you're bent over and you can't walk and you can't stand and you're struggling your whole life, and then you're corrected and you're brought back to a right position. The Word of God straightens your life out. I can tell you the truth, it straightened mine out, and it will straighten your life out. The Word of God will correct you when you've gone astray. It will line you up with God's plan for your life. It will keep you walking in a way that honors Him. And then it's training. Rearing a child by training and guiding him in how to live. With this, we have all that we need. The Word of God is all sufficient for us. It teaches us all about life. It rebukes us when we're in sin. It corrects us when we're astray. And it trains us in means of righteousness. It teaches us how to live. Who here doesn't want to live the way God wants you to live? You're here because you want God. You're here because God is a part of your life and He means something to you. Well, in order to grow the way that God wants you to grow, and I believe that you want to grow, you have to allow the Word of God to have its place in your life. You have to understand that the Word of God has meaning and it has power. And if you have a Bible and you leave it on your bedside, or if you leave it on your coffee table, or if you leave it in your car, it cannot transform you. I don't care if you sleep on it. If you make it your pillow, you're not going to get the Word of God through osmosis. It's not going to go from your pillow to your head. It doesn't work that way. You have to read it. You have to study it. You have to memorize it. You have to meditate on it. That the Word of God might have implications for your life. That it might transform you. The discipline of reading and studying God's Word is critical for us in our journey. The goal of our salvation isn't that we would just be saved. I mean, that would be nice, right? Hey, I'm saved. I'm good now. And then you get to go straight to heaven. That'd be awesome. Lord, I accept you into my life. Boom, you're gone. I repent of my sins. Now I'm in heaven. Everything's great. No more problems, no more struggles. But the reality is you're here in this world. And there are problems, and there are struggles, and there are financial difficulties, and there are conflicts, and there are issues within relationships. There's everything that you could imagine right here in this world. And God didn't just take you out. He left you here. But He left you here that you would now be the light to the lost. That you would be the salt and make people thirsty. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, and this is starting back with Israel, when God chose Israel, He said to them, chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. When they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He quoted right here from Deuteronomy 6, and he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. God wants us to love Him. Jesus said in John 15, if you love me, you'll obey my word. You can't obey what you do not know. Does that make sense? How can you obey it if you don't know it? So God says to Israel, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. They're not just for you, but they're for your family. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. They should be on your lips. They should be in your conversation. The Word of God should be a part of your daily life. From the time your feet hit the floor to the time your head hits the pillow. You should be thinking about, meditating on, talking about the Word of God. Not just about money, not just about things, not just about sports, but about His Word. Allowing it to permeate all that you are. He went on to say in verses 8 and 9, he said, tie them as symbols on your hands. That means to always have them with you. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads so that it's always in your head. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We need the Word of God everywhere all the time. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to know it. It needs to be a daily part of our life. Joshua chapter 8 verse 34 read the book of the law to all the Israelites. He had the whole assembly come together and he read them the Word of God so they would understand it, so they could hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word so that our faith might grow. But the problem is most of our effort in life is put in other things. We're distracted and we've got this we want to know about. We want to know about that. And we're so constantly pulled in so many different directions that we don't make time. We don't discipline ourselves enough to spend time in the Word of God. And we need to. Because we need the Word of God. It is the most powerful resource you have as a believer. David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. You can't live what you do not know. How much time are you spending in your Word? You think about it. Between you and God. But if you want change, if you want transformation, you've got to schedule in time to be in the Word. I know Christians that don't spend any time in the Word. They show up at church, they hear the Word, but they're not daily reading the Bible. They're not spending time meditating. They're not memorizing. They're not allowing the Word of God to do what it was created to do, to transform our hearts and minds so that we would have real change. When David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it's a beautiful picture. Because in those days, they didn't have street lights. They didn't have night lights. They didn't have flashlights. They carried lanterns. And when it was pitch black outside and you needed to walk down a mountain, you needed light. And without that light, man, your life depended on it. If you didn't have a light, you slip off, you're gone. Your life's over. And David said in the same way, your word, it's a light. It's a lamp unto my feet. It gives me direction. It gives me insight. It shows me the way. I love Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. It's alive. Man, you put the word of God in you. It's alive. It's got power. It grows. It resonates. It transforms us. It starts on the inside and it works its way out so that our thinking is renewed. That's why the scriptures say that we should be renewed by the word. I mean, think about it. In chapter 12, when Paul says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And then he says, and be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing takes place when we exchange our thoughts for the thoughts of God. And that happens as the Word of God washes away all the influences of this world. Do you think you're influenced by the world? You're a fool if you don't. Because the world is influencing you every day. Every day through the media, marketing, advertising. If you buy this, you'll be happy. All you got to do is have this toy right here. And you're like, oh man, I need that. Nice shiny car. Oh man, if I had that, I would look cool. Clothes. Jordans, man, everybody wants Jordans because I want to be like Mike. Be like Mike, you know. We're influenced all the time by media and marketing, by what we see and what we hear, by the music we listen to. We need the Word of God to transform our thinking. It is active. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the what? Say that with me. The thoughts. It judges what? The thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We need the Word of God so that our attitudes can be adjusted. Anybody here ever have a bad attitude? Man, me too, all the time. I need the Word of God to adjust my attitude, to change my thinking. If I don't have the Word of God, I'm nasty. I'm mean. I'm irritable. I walk around like I got PMS. Pre-murder syndrome. I'm ready to kill somebody. I need the Word of God because it transforms me. It helps me to be the person that God wants me to be. Without the Word of God, I have no hope. I have no help. It's just me. And if I'm left to my own resources, you can only fake it for so long. You need the Word of God daily in your life. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How are you going to know if your thoughts are the right thoughts? Unless it's measured by the Word of God. See, you have to have a standard. And that's the problem. Is we don't believe that. We think, oh, I can just think whatever I want to think. Yeah, you can think whatever you want to think, but you need a standard to measure your thoughts according to. What's going to be your standard? Is the culture going to be your standard? Because the culture is always changing. I mean, what was in the 50s isn't in now. Your culture is always going up and down. Sometimes it's cyclical. Well, if the culture is not going to be your standard, maybe the community could be your standard. Well, the community is always changing. Look at our world. We have gay marriages, no prayer. People don't want God in the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't even want God on our money. You know, the community's always changing. The culture's always changing. What's going to be your standard for what's right, what's wrong, for what you're thinking? The Word of God is our standard. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. It corrects us and changes us. We need to read the Word of God. And I believe, personally, you need a reading time, kind of a devotional time, and then you need a study time. I think every believer should read at least 3 times a day. I do. That's my personal conviction. Why? Because you eat at least 3 times a day. You say, no, not me. I eat 6 times a day. Well, then you should read 6 times a day, Phil, right? If you eat 6 times a day, you should read 6 times a day. We need to feed on the Word of God. I think you should read every time you have an opportunity. When you have chance, when you're sitting on your break and you got 15 minutes of work, pull out your Bible, read a verse, meditate on it, think about it. Carry it around with you. Man, I have verses tucked away everywhere. I do. I got verses that I carry that are in my Bible. I got them written on 3x5 cards. I just carry them. They're always with me. I've got verses in my little black book so that when I'm out somewhere and I need to meditate on the Word of God, I've got that. I've got verses in my day timer. I've got verses in this book right here that I was just studying. These are all the verses that I put to heart that I wanted to memorize. I started writing them down, and so I'm just writing. I've got 4 pages. I went through a book, and I just went through the book, and I just started writing down the verses. Verses that I want to memorize. 4 pages last week of verses that I said, man, I need to learn these words. And I just put them in. And I just put them in. Maybe there's five. Yep, there is. There's 5 pages of verses. Why? Why would I do that? Oh, because you're a preacher. That's why you would do it. No. Not because I'm a preacher. Because I can look on a computer and in 2 seconds put a message together. I could steal somebody else's. That wouldn't matter. But because I know that I need the Word of God. Without the Word of God, I have no hope. I have no change. There'll be no real transformation. And I really don't care what people think. But I do care what He thinks. I care what He thinks. And He knows my heart. And He knows if I'm reading His Word. He knows if I'm studying. I need to study the Word of God so that He'll change me. You ever feel like you don't like who you are? You ever feel like, man, I just want to be more holy. I want to be more righteous. I want to have more faith. I worry too much. I'm too stressed out all the time. Well, if you feel that way at times, that's good. Because that's the flag that says surrender. Surrender. Do what it takes to change. You see, you can recognize change, but then you have to do what it takes to make the change. It's not enough just to recognize it. You have to take steps, and that's why discipline is so important in our lives. We lack discipline. And most of us, even when we lack discipline, we'll be disciplined in the areas that are important to us. See, that's the real catch, is that even as we lack discipline, because we all lack discipline in some areas, we'll find that we are disciplined in the areas that are important to us. So my real question is that, is the Word of God important to you? Because if it's really important to you, then you'll be disciplined in that area. If change is really important to you, if you really want to be who God wants you to be, then you need to discipline yourselves in the Word of God so that you can have true change. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James says, study to show yourself approved. The NIV puts it like this, do your best. Do your best. Best. That's your responsibility. Are you doing your best when it comes to the Word of God? Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the Word of truth. Are you doing your best? Are you setting time aside to read and to study a couple times a day? Man, carve out a 30-minute section in the morning of your day. Carve out 30 minutes in the evening. Make time to read and then make time to study. And studying is easy. It's just asking questions as you read a text in context. Who, what, when, where, why. You learn that in grammar school. So when you're breaking down a text, you say, who is saying this and why is he saying this and who's he saying it to? And what's the implications and how does this apply to me? Is there a transference of another truth or a principle that I might see and understand? And how do they connect with the Bible in its entirety? But you learn by reading a book over and over and over. I would encourage you, if you've never really studied, to take one book. Take a simple book, like the book of Philippians or the book of Colossians or the book of James, and just read it every day for a week. Every day for a week. Read it, read it, read it. And then at night, start breaking it down. Little by little, piece by piece. Just break it down. What is he saying? Who is he saying to? To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Who are the 12 tribes? Well, that must be the 12 tribes of Israel, because he's writing to Jews. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. You know, and you just begin to look at it, and God, how does this apply to me? What are you saying here? What can I learn from this and what can I take home and what can I apply? God said this about the Bereans. And I wanted you to see this because this is very, very important. He said, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. They were more noble character. Why? Why were the Bereans of more noble character? How do you develop noble character? Well, here's how. For they received the message with great eagerness. They were hungry for the word. Give it to me. They received the message with eagerness. And what? And examined it every day. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Is it really what he says? Does this really line up? They were studying the scriptures daily. And because of that, they were of more noble character. God was developing character in their life. Why is character important? Because when you're tried and you're tested, you need character to stand strong. Listen to me, all you young people. You're going to be tempted in school. Hey man, just hit this one time. Come on, it won't hurt you. You're going to be tried. Man, look at this. You ever seen a picture like that before? Woo! That's hot. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. You're going to be pulled. And if you don't have character, you'll give in. And the only way your character will ever be developed is through the Word of God. It's not going to happen by playing video games. That's not going to develop your character. You're not going to develop character by shooting guns or throwing knives or playing basketball. Those things don't develop your character. Character comes through the Word of God. That's it. If you want character, you have to be in the Word of God. And if you're not in the Word of God, don't expect that your character will be transformed. Then you're left to the culture. And you're left to the media. We need to read and study the Word of God. Do you agree with me? Yes. Do you believe that you need the Word of God? I hope so. So here's my question now. I like questions. Are you going to make time for the Word of God? Are you going to make time daily for the Word of God? Look, it's easy to start. Start strong. But it's not how you start, it's how you finish that matters. Look, I know people, yeah, I'm going to do it. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, it's gone. I'm going to eat healthy. Right? I'll start on Monday. First, there's procrastination. I'll start on Monday. And then when Monday comes, well, I'll do it next week. And then if they start, they're like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to eat healthy. And they go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday by lunch. They're driving by a drive-thru. Oh, man, that looks good. All right, one burger won't hurt. It won't. Discipline is about training yourself to modify your behavior. We all need discipline. We need to discipline ourselves in the reading and studying of scriptures. If we don't, we won't transform. Second, the discipline of memorizing God's word. We need to memorize it. You say, why? Why do we need to memorize the word of God? We have Bibles everywhere. We might not always have Bibles everywhere. There are countries and people right now, read the Voice of Martyrs, where they have no scriptures because all the Bibles have been taken away from them. They have nobody preaching the word to them because they can't go to church. If you don't have the word of God in your heart, what are you going to do? How are you going to know what's right, what's wrong? What's going to judge your thoughts and your attitudes of your heart? David said, I've hidden the word of my heart that I might not sin against thee. I've hidden it. Well, the only way you hide it in your heart is to memorize it. Proverbs 7 says, my son, keep my words and store up my commandments within you. How do you store it up? By memorizing it. You store it in your heart by feeding on it and memorizing it. You say, well, how do I learn to memorize the scripture? Well, for me, it's easy. I write it down like you see in a book. I write it on paper and then I transfer that to a 3x5 card and I write it over and I write it over. And then I write an application on the back. There'll be a verse and then on the back of it, let me see if I can find one. On the back of it, what I'll do is I'll write an application, how it applies to me. I'll write the verse on the front and say, okay, here's the verse. And then I'll pray, God, how does this really apply to me? And then I'll turn around and I'll write the application on the back of the 3x5 card. Because that way it helps me to think, how does this verse change my life? How does it give me direction? How does it give me insight? And so memorizing the verse is simple if you apply yourself. Think about this. Anybody here not know your address? Well, why is knowing your address important? because you got to find your way home, right? You need to know where you live, especially if you get lost. We start teaching our kids when they're little. All right, here's my phone number. We make them memorize it. Why? Because it's important. We make them memorize the address because it's important. We should be making our kids memorize scriptures from the time they're that big. Why? Because it's important. It's important. Look, if your career is important to you, you work hard at it. Right? You do what needs to be done because it's important to you. If the Word of God is really important and you understand what Jesus did for you and what He's given you by giving you the Word, then you need to memorize His Word and plant it in your heart. David said in Psalm 119, 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The Bible is not some boring book. It's an adventure. And when you see the stories and the principles and the truth behind it, I mean, you see life. You see David struggling with adultery and then lying to cover up his sin. And then God rebuking him to his face because God sees and knows all things. Then you see repentance. "Take not thy spirit away from me. Restore my joy, the joy of your salvation." Man, the Bible shows it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a beautiful book. It's a story of God's love for us and His desire to redeem us and to change us and then to use us for His glory. Isn't that awesome that God wants to use you? Think about that. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Meditate on His Word. Fill your mind up with it. Because the devil, he's slick. He's been doing this a long time. He knows that God wants to use you. So he's going to tempt you. He's going to deceive you. That's why you need to know the truth, so you can fight the fake. You won't be able to deal with the counterfeit unless you know the truth. He's going to try to get you, "Oh man, all religions are the same. It doesn't matter. You can be anything you want to be as long as you worship God." He's going to try to deceive you. He's going to plant seeds of doubt in your mind. He even did it with Jesus. Matthew 4, after Jesus fasted 40 days, he's hungry. And the Bible says the tempter, that's the devil, the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Why? Because he knew that was a weakness at the moment. He knew where he was weak. You think the devil doesn't know where you're weak? If looking at porn is a struggle for you, the devil knows that. If lying is a struggle for you, the devil knows that. Whatever your weakness is, he knows about it. He knows. Jesus was hungry. And so the tempter came to him and said, "Hey, if you're really the Son of God, tell these stones to be turned into bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written." Where was it written? In the Old Testament. Scripture. He is quoting scripture that he memorized. You say, "No, he was God. He knew it all." Yes and no. Yeah, he was God. He knew it all. But he laid aside the use of his deity. So he wasn't calling on his supernatural side. He was living by his human side. Philippians says that he laid aside the use of his deity. Something to be grasped. Like, wow, this is God. He laid that aside and became a man who became obedient to death. So as a man, he fought temptation. How did he fight temptation? With the Word of God. You think the Scriptures aren't important? You think you're not going to be tempted? He said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need the Scriptures. We need to get them in our hearts. I want to encourage you, please start memorizing the scriptures. Find passages that mean something to you. When I read a book, the way I do it now, and I'm older and have had more experience, I used to just pick a verse here and pick a verse there and pick a, but now I pick a book at a time. Like I'll take a book like Ephesians, and I'll read through the book, and I'll read through the book, and I'll read through the book, and then I'll think, all right, God, I want to pull out the verses that really mean something to me, that are applicable, that can help me, give me strength, fight temptation, and to help me be more disciplined. And then I'll write down all the verses out of that book. I'll just go through it, and I'll pick out verses that mean something to me, that are important, that can give me strength. And I'll write them all down on paper, and then I'll transfer them to 3x5 cards, and I'll start working on them one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? It's one at a time. You'll overwhelm yourself. You take 20 verses. I'm going to memorize these this week. You'll be like, oh, I give up on that memory stuff. But if you take one verse, you say, oh, I can't memorize a verse. Yes, you can. Memorize John 11:44. Jesus wept. There you go. You got a verse. All right? You could start small. Start with a two-word verse if you have to. And then work your way up to 3 and 4 and 5. Whatever it takes. But the goal is to start doing it. Because we need the Word of God in our hearts. The last thing I want to talk to you about is meditating and what meditating looks like. The discipline of meditating. When I'm talking about meditating, I'm not talking about sitting down and going, ooh, until you float up in the air. That's not what I'm talking about. All right? I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God. Now, the Word is actually a word that has to do with like cows. Cows have multiple stomachs, right? You know that. Everybody knows that. Or at least I thought everybody knew that. But cows have multiple stomachs. And this whole Hebrew word of meditation has to do with the cows eating their cud. If you watch a cow, cows are always chewing. They get up in the morning and they're eating their grass. They're chewing it up. And then they swallow it and it goes down into a lower stomach. And then literally a couple hours later, they spit it back up. Mmm, lunch. That sounds good, doesn't it, right? Don't you wish you had three stomachs? You could do that too. Just bring it back up and they chew it some more. That's why it's called chewing your cud. And so they'll chew on it and chew on it and chew it. Then they'll swallow it again. Then a little while later, oh, I'm hungry again. Boop, they'll bring it back up. And then they chew on it some more. Well, that's how it should be with us, with the Word of God. You take a verse. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. John 4:4. All right? 1 John 4:4. So you take a verse like that. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. So you get up in the morning and you meditate on that verse. Greater is He who is in you. God, I know that you are in me. That your spirit lives in me. And that no matter what I face today, that you're greater than any obstacle, than any opportunity, than any struggle, than any distraction. Greater are you. Greater are you. Greater is He who's in me than He who's in the world. I believe that, God. I pray today that you would help me to live that. And then a little while later during the day, you go to work. And then you get a break, 5 minutes, and you pull that verse out again. And you read it again. And you start thinking about it. God, thank you that you are greater than anything in this world and that you live in me, that you made a choice to abide in me, that you came from heaven and you gave up your life that you could live in me. God, greater are you that's in me than he was in the world. And you meditate on what that means and what that says. And then a little while later, you're driving on the way home. And, you know, you're upset because somebody's driving 30 miles an hour in the fast zone. And you're like, don't you know the speed limit is 50? And that verse just comes into your mind. Greater is He who's in you. All right, Lord, I need to be patient because I know you're going to work this out. You're sovereign. You're in control. You'll get me where I need to be. Let me just trust you. That's meditation. We should meditate on the Word of God. Now, if you don't read the Word, if you don't memorize the Word, you'll have nothing to meditate on. Right? You'll just be like, oh, my alarm went off. Coffee. I gotta go. Let me throw my clothes on. And then you run off to work. And then you're at work all day and somebody says something to you and you're like, oh man, I hate that person. They just get on my nerves. And you're grouchy and you're irritable because you haven't been washed in the Word. You need the Word of God because you are entering into a world filled with distractions and battles and wars. Let me tell you, the enemy is waging war against you every day. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. There's a real battle every day, and we need the Word of God to guard our minds and our hearts. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mocker. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and does he meditate on it day and night? He takes it in. He chews it up. And he thinks about it all day long. He mulls it over. He works it in his mind. He applies it to his life. And he's prosperous. He's prosperous. He's blessed. He has peace. Man, wouldn't you like to have peace? Wouldn't you like to stop worrying during the day? You can memorize verses like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then you can memorize verse 34. This is, why do you worry like the pagans who run after all these things? Don't you know that tomorrow has enough worries of its own? You just start taking the word of God, and you've got it in your head, and you've got it wherever you are. Look, I'm losing my mind. I took a lot of punches when I was young. A lot of punches to the head. Right, Nick? You saw it. A lot of them. I've taken a lot of punches to the head. I would always block people's punches with my face. Go ahead, what you got? You know? And now my memory is bad. But you know what is so awesome? No matter what I forget, and I forget everything. Yesterday I drove away with the cell phone on the top of my car. I did. I drove all the way home, and then I realized I needed my phone because I had a wedding to do in Innisbrook, and all the information was on my phone. And I was like, oh man! And I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, I tore the house apart. I called my phone 50 times. I tore my car apart. So I drove back to the church because I'd been here working all day. So I went upstairs. I went downstairs. I'm walking around with one phone, calling my phone everywhere. Then I walked outside because I was working out there in the yard. And I'm looking around. Finally, I said, Lord, please help me. Help me, Lord. I need my phone. I got to go to a wedding. I don't even know I don't remember what time I need to be there. My memory's bad. But the word of God isn't gone. It's there. And so I said, all right, Lord. And I just started praying. I was driving home. And there my phone was, laying on the side of the road. Literally, right down the road off. When I went around a curve, I guess it just slid off of... I can't even remember the name of the street now. It's bad. The memory part's bad. So if I forget your name, don't worry about it. As long as I can remember the word, that's what matters. That's what matters. The word of God is critical for our lives. If you tuck it away, it'll be with you forever. I love this verse. God is telling Joshua, because Joshua is nervous. I mean, Joshua's nervous, man. He's filling Moses' shoes. After 40 years, Moses led the people of Israel. All right, your turn. What? Really, God? He's nervous. He's scared. He's got to step into the shoes of Joshua. Could you imagine that? This great, strong leader like Moses, the humblest man in the world that ever lived. That's what the Bible says. It was the most humble man that ever lived. And now you got to fill his shoes. Joshua's like, oh God, really? So God says to him, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Day and night, so that, purpose clause, you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See, real success isn't about how much money you have when you die. Real success isn't about how many houses you own when you die. Real success isn't about what you succeed in. It's about if you please God. And if you do not let the word of God depart from your mouth, and you meditate on it day and night, and you're careful to do everything written in it, you will be successful. You will. And you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. That's what I want. I know that's what you want. So we have to discipline ourselves to read, to study, to memorize, and then to meditate. Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Now think about that. Now this is critical. I want you to see this. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. How many times do you walk through the day and just think about, I wonder what God is thinking? I wonder what God is wanting. I wonder how I can bless God. Most of the time in our days, we're thinking, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, will you protect me? God, will you do this? God, will you do that? It's God, I need. I want. But how about considering His ways? God, how can I bless you? God, I want to bless you today. Show me ways that I can bless you. And you drive by and there's somebody cutting the grass. And you say, oh, that's so sweet. And you just keep driving. No, you pull over and you help. Somebody's broke down on the side of the road. You give them a hand. You praise Him. You give thanksgiving. You just say, God, I'm not going to ask you for anything today. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to bless you. I want to just give thanks for all that you've given me. I just want to bless your holy name. And you sing to Him and you rejoice in Him. And David says, I will not neglect your word. I think we're all guilty of neglecting the word of God. That's right. I think every one of us could honestly say there are days, there are times, there are moments when we neglect the word of God. And for that, just say, God, I'm sorry. I want to be a man of your word. I want to be a woman of the word. Help me to apply your word to my life that I might meditate on it, that I might live it, that I might do what you've created me to do. David said in Psalm 119, I have put my hope in your what? In your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. That means he's up during the night. For those of you who can't sleep, here's what you do when you're up in the night, that I may meditate on your promises. It doesn't mean meditate on Dr. Phil or meditate on Oprah or whatever else is playing on TV. It means meditate on his promises. So you just start meditating on his promises. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, right? He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. All things work together for the good of those who love you and who have been called according to your purpose. You start meditating on his promises. Whom shall I fear? Neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation could separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You start meditating on his scriptures. But in order to meditate on them, you need to know them. Does that make sense? You have to know them in order to meditate on them. Last verse. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Man, let it be a part of you. Eat it up. Consume it. Desire it. So that it dwells in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. You see, if we all are just sucking up the word, if we're just eating it up, then I'll say, hey, man, Phil, let me show you this principle. Dino, man, check this out. Doug, have you ever looked at this and thought about this? Man, look at the scriptures. You come home and you can say, hey, babe, look, I was reading this today. Look at that, man. That is awesome. You ever seen that like that? Man, that if we're patient and kind because we are focused on Him, His peace that passes understanding will fill us. We're admonishing one another with the Word because it's richly dwelling in us. We're encouraging each other. We're building each other up because we have the Word of God living through us. He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Because when you're focused on the Word of God, you're not focused on yourself. Did you hear me? When you're focused on the Word of God, you're not focused on yourself. You stop worrying about your problem. You stop thinking about all the things that you got to go through and all the things you got to get done. All of a sudden, you're thinking about God and you're thinking about His Word and you're thinking about your future. Isn't it going to be awesome when Jesus takes us home? Man, I can't wait. Come, Lord Jesus, the sky is going to crack and the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those of us who are here are going to take off. Like Superman. We're going to go see Jesus. And forever be with Him in the air. Forever we're going to be with the Lord. In a place where there's no more pain. And there's no more suffering. And there's no more struggles. And there's no more financial difficulties. and there's no more worries, and there's no more guilt, there's no more anxiety. Man, it's going to be so awesome. But we can have that now too. Not exactly the same, but we can live in that kind of peace. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, we can love each other that way. We can encourage each other. We can build each other up. We don't have to worry. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be anxious. You don't need to be stressed, ever. Because the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you give all your needs to Him, if you lay Him at His feet, if you cast all your cares, knowing that He cares for you. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me. That we would be those kind of people for God's glory. Lord, I just ask that you would help us, God, to become more disciplined. To manage our time better, Father. To incorporate the things that are important to us. Like your word. God, that we would see the power of the word. That it would really begin to transform our minds and our hearts. God, giving us joy and hope and peace. As we meditate on it and we cast all of our cares upon you. Father, transform us. Change us from the inside out. Be glorified in this place. Be glorified in our lives. Be exalted for who you are. We love you, Jesus. We are so grateful for what you did. Thank you for the salvation you purchased for us. Father, find us faithful in serving you and advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at NWCC777.